what we could ever achieve before. Dr. Mitchell Wong and Dr. Shannon Wong are the first and only ophthalmologists in Austin offering custom cornea intralasic. Call today, 250-2020, or visit our website, austineye.com, to schedule your free consultation or to attend one of our upcoming seminars on May 6th and 7th to learn about custom cornea intralasic.
Mornings with Mark and Ed.
Do you know Saddam Hussein is the one who's the tyrant and the despot murdering his
own
people?
Sir, I know that. I was born and raised there, and he killed my father, but that's not the issue.
Saddam murdered your own father, and you're blaming President Bush. Ray, please, wake up.
The Morning Show. Weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 590 KLBJ.
I saw the look in your eyes, looking into
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
We continue our little chat with William Henry. We'll tell you a little bit about the After Dark newsletter. June issues being worked on now. The phone number, if you'd like to order After Dark, 1-888-727-5505. You can also order it online. Very simple to do, very secure at coasttocoastam.com. Well, I completed my 10th week on Ultimate HGH, so I'm going to dabble with it for a little bit, and I feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks, charged and ready to go. Simple as that. You know, the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH human growth hormone. I've been talking about it now for, a couple years now. The benefits of HGH, and according to thousands of articles, these higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. People take Ultimate HGH. It's a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH. So if your goal is to help improve your energy and stamina, possibly lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance your memory, immune function, Ultimate HGH is for you. And by ordering two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get number three absolutely free. That's about $33 a month that you would spend, and that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. You'll also get a free book on HGH. That's a $20 value. Call this number, 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. This is for Ultimate HGH. 1-800-557-4627.
Do you or someone you love suffer from migraine headaches? Now there is a new all-natural physician-recommended formula containing ingredients proven to actually reduce the number and severity of migraines you have. This breakthrough product is called MigRelief. The number to call is 1-877-MIG-RELIEF. Neurologists and headache specialists throughout the United States have recommended MigRelief to thousands of migraine patients, and MigRelief is now available exclusively at independent pharmacies without a prescription. The number is 1-877-MIG-RELIEF. Here's what Mindy McStruhl, daughter of the National Pharmacist of the Year, has to say. MigRelief helped me tremendously. I suffered for over 15 years. Now I recommend MigRelief to all the migraine sufferers who come to our pharmacy. Call 1-877-MIG-RELIEF or log on to MIGRELIEF.com. Order MigRelief today. It may change your life.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. You're still getting some more, by the way, tornado warnings in that Tennessee region. It's what's the weather like exactly now, William, where you are?
It's very calm right now.
It is?
Mm-hmm. I'm here in Nashville. I'm in actually downtown Nashville, and it's quite calm right now.
So I'm looking at my radar, and it looks like the whole state is inundated. I mean, it's got to be cloudy at least out there.
Oh,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Very dark clouds.
Okay, yeah, you've got storms coming. So as they say, be careful, be careful. Language of the birds. What's that?
It's probably one of the most important things I've ever come upon in my quest to understand ancient myths and legends.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's the key to all of mythology. Language of the birds is actually the language of the angels. We're not talking about tweet-tweet kind of birds, that kind of thing.
No.
I had a so-called scholar of ancient language recently that challenged me on this thing, and he said, oh, William Henry talks to birds. He gets his information from birds. He's mentally ill. And my retort was, this is not a scholar of ancient languages. You know, this person doesn't know of the existence of this very important pre-flood language. They tell us that at one time there was one language spoken on Earth, a primordial pre-flood language, and it was called the language of the birds. And what it does, George, is it uses phonetic resonance. It's called a phonetic Kabbalah. It uses resonance between words to link seemingly unrelated concepts.
Okay, yeah, you're going to give me an example?
Can I pick on you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what does the name Nori mean?
I think it means the light.
Wow, that's good, George. Why does it mean the light?
I have no idea.
Well, if I were investigating, let's just say hypothetically it's 150 years, 200 years from now, and our civilization's been wiped out, but we learned that there was a person named George Nori, and I have the key to all of mythology, which happens to be the English dictionary. And I get into this English dictionary, and I look up the word George Nori.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that, mythologically speaking, George is the archetypal dragon slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look up the name Nori, you find out that the root nu, N-O-O, means knowledge. It means wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And re, R-Y, means ray. So we might be able to hypothesize using the bird language that this person, George Nori, was interested or involved in spreading knowledge. He was a ray of light or wisdom.
Excellent.
And now when that's a very right-brained interpretation. And then what I do is I go back to the left brain, to the science, and say, now what did George Nori do for a living?
All right.
The answer is he was a radio broadcaster who broadcasted knowledge.
And they'd say, what was radio?
And they'd say, what was radio? And now this leads into the web of interrelationship and connections. See, every word that comes out of our mouth is like a smoke ring. It potentially can lead us into a web of relationships or connections. And this is what I do, for example, with the word like Nibiru. I mean, language scholars just go ballistic with this technique. You can't do that. Well, what I do is I take the word and treat it like a coconut. Let's cut Nibiru in half in the bird language. And what you find is that the word Nibiru is composed of the words nib, which means lofty place or star, and ru, which in numerous languages means passageway.
That is interesting.
So all I've done here is I get out my English dictionary, which they tell us is the key to the language of the birds, and I look back at these ancient texts just for insight. I'm not saying it's a perfect science, but what it does is they tell us that this helps to bring us into this web of relationships and to see the interconnectedness of all of creation. Now, unfortunately, what happened is humanity was united by language, and then along comes an episode called the Tower of Babel, where humanity gathers to build a tower that reaches into the heaven.
Mm-hmm. And they build it, and they build it.
And they build it. But God, Yahweh, says, hey, I'm not ready for company, guys. And he smashes our tower, demolishes it, and separates humanity by language. Now, before the Babel incident, the word Babel meant gate, as in gate to God. Afterward, the Hebrew priest switched the meaning of the word Babel from gate to confusion and nonsense. So what they did then is they figured that all those people that talked about the gate to God and the existence of this stargate to heaven talk nonsense, and they're babblers. You know what Mike Kaiser says I talk? Nonsense, and I babble. I say to him, thank you. Thank you so much, because you validated my approach here. But the fact is, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Calls me mentally ill this language.
I'm going to take you both out to dinner one night.
There's a tremendous opportunity here to unite the left and right in this dialogue. And that's what I'm hoping will be able to emerge from these kinds of conversations, because there are definitely two sides to this story. There's the written text, the written tablets, but then there's the oral tradition that uses the language of the birds to communicate mystic and mythical secrets. Now,
it's almost like a code.
It is a code. In fact, the word bird encodes the code, because phonetically the word bird is bard in Ireland, and a bard is a poet. So the language of the birds is the language of the bards or the poets.
Bard, you sound like you're from southern Illinois.
Right, there you go. But in another way, if you ask a child to say the word bird, a lot of times they're going to say bud. You ever heard a child say that?
Yeah, bud. Oh yeah.
Well, what's a bud? Well, a bud is a flower. But a bud is also the root for Buddha or Buddha, which means awakening. So in this way, by entering the web of relationships, the language of the birds becomes the language of the Buddhas, the language of the awakened ones.
Do you think every word, old word, can be broken down this way and try to be interpreted?
Every single word can be broken down this way. Every single word is sort of what you're doing is you're digging into the word, similarly to the way a geologist digs into the soil. And what happens is the deeper you go, the closer you get to the root mother tongue, the language of the birds. And what happens is, and scholars, again, just dismiss this as fanciful and sick, basically, but in the bird language, word meanings are cumulative. So in other words, I can look at any word and derive the relationships from it by looking at its accumulated meanings throughout history.
Well, what about like Henry? I mean, would that have any significance, like Nori being the light?
Right. I mean, it may. If you're looking at it, you're looking at a name or a place name contains a resonance that may point to a certain life mission of the individual.
Or his family.
Or his family, or point to the insight of that particular place. And so, like the name Henry, obviously hen is a bird. And re, again, means light. So I'm William, bird of light, is a way of fancifully thinking about William Henry. That doesn't mean I am a bird of light, but it does mean that if I were to tap into the mythological resonance of my name, if I'm looking for my soul's life lesson or life plan, I might well find it there. John F. Kennedy's name, the name Kennedy means ugly head.
Ugly head. Why did he always go by Jack, by the way? If your name is John, why go by Jack?
You know, I don't know where Jack came from.
And a lot of people who are Johns call themselves Jack.
Mm-hmm. But what I was alluding to with John Kennedy was, if the name Kennedy means ugly head, look what happened in the life of John F. Kennedy.
Ugly head. Yeah, that's true.
Ronald Reagan was famous for his Star Wars, a ray gun up in the sky.
Well,
this
done.
Is hilarious. I could make a whole religion out of Bugs Bunny if you gave me enough time.
Well, since I got to talk to Michael Reagan, the president's son, and talk about that. That is fascinating.
Again, it's instructive. It's very right brain, but the language of the birds mandates that if you go over to the right, you've got to come back to science and be able to show and prove what you're doing. And this is what I'm attempting to do with by treating Nibiru like a coconut, cutting it in half, and finding out that it means lofty place. It's a passageway. Because this is what the Sumerians seem to be alluding to as well. And so now what I'm challenged with doing is going back to science and saying, how could this be possible? How can we create a passageway into the stars?
I wonder what Sitchin means. Did you ever analyze that one?
No, I haven't.
I wonder what that would be. William, the work of would you consider yourself a scientist?
No, I'm a poet. I am a mythologist, but I take the poetry and the mythology that I glean and juxtapose it with science, which is another of the
that's very close
of the bird language. Yes,
I mean extremely close.
Right. I mean, and that's what I see is where the value of my work is that constantly in lectures and in my books, I'm saying, here's an ancient poetic idea, but look, it matches up with modern science. We put the two together and we come up with something beautiful.
I would guess that more mythologists are apt to accept science than scientists are to accept mythology.
Oh, no question. I mean, even Joseph Campbell, one of the greatest mythologists of all time, fought this battle. And it's just, again, you're dealing with the two halves of the human brain. You've got the left and logical side, and the right and the poetic and mythological side. And it's attempting to build that bridge of light between the two that's the challenge. See, critics can look at me and totally dismiss what I say, but I'm the opposite. I can scoop up everything these language scholars say and bring it into my world and make use of it and educate and unite. And so that's the difference here, is we have to be able to have the science, but we also have to have the poetry that goes along with it, but we've got to build the bridge of light in between the two.
A few years ago, and when I was studying up on the Mayan calendar, I thought 2012 was so long away.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 9 years away.
Right.
That's nothing.
Right.
I mean, this thing's going to be up and honest, and what's going to happen?
Well, I've predicted one of the things we're going to see is military activity down there in the Yucatan.
Or what kind?
Well, probably something like the full-scale perimeter wipe down that we just experienced in Iraq.
And when? Close to that year,
close
that period?
To that year. Yeah, probably 3 to 4 years before, probably around 2008 or so, we'll start to see some terrorist activity in the Yucatan that's got to be dispensed with, and we'll see that area locked down as well.
What would be there that we would want?
Gosh, those books in stone that the Mayans left with us. John Major Jenkins, for example, has done a tremendous job at decoding those Mayan pyramids down there and telling us, hey, they've left a blueprint, an instruction manual for when 2012 comes and that serpent rope comes out of the sky. Now, John Major Jenkins says, and I agree, that serpent rope is actually a wormhole. And in 2012, what he says is going to happen is the god of nine winds, who may be Quetzalcoatl, the king of Tula, the center of our Milky Way galaxy, is going to come out of that wormhole and deliver an enlightenment teaching.
All right, so you are saying on Coast to Coast, this is the first time we've heard this, that there could be military action in that region in 5-6 years in anticipation of the end of the Mayan calendar.
Yes.
That's pretty dramatic stuff.
Yes, I stand by that. I believe that will occur.
Now, when we get to this 2012 year in December, what does that mean for us?
Well, the question is it all going to just kind of go splat during that time? Is it all going to immediately unfold? There are those that say that 2012 isn't the key date, that it really, and this is, you know, kind of not backpedaling here. I'm just reporting what other people have told me who know about these alignments, and they say that the actual date is between 2012 and 2200.
So they could be off.
They could be off.
It's by a long, long way.
Definitely the commencement. But listen, George, this 2012 business started with the Mayans 1,000 years ago. They're describing a serpent rope. Who could have possibly known that at this time in history, we would have at the very apex of our technology a thought form called Stargate or wormhole?
Nobody, unless they were told or witnessed something.
Precisely. And, you know, like Dr. Kaku says, this represents the survival, if not the salvation, of our species. If we don't embrace the Stargate and wormhole concept, we will inherit the wind. We're space dust. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, because we've got to begin to look at the past as instructive, as containing instructive information for our future, because they're telling us what is going to unfold here. And it just, again, so happens that the cutting edge of our science is Stargate and wormhole science. I mean, imagine that.
Do you see this 2012 date as probably one of the most important dates in our history right now?
A total reorienting moment, a multifaceted moment, just like, you know, the crack of that gun from the Texas School Book Depository changed American history. Something's going to come out of the sky, maybe that serpent rope, maybe something else in 2012. We're going to be gaining awareness of what happens at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. Shamans of times past said it was called Tula, which is a Sanskrit word that means balance and compassion.
Well, this may not be a bad thing. right?
It's going to be a phenomenal thing. It's going to be, as John Major Jenkins says, a moment of cosmogenesis, of rebirth, of renewal.
Jeez.
And each and every one of us are participants in this event. It's kind of like, did you see the movie, it was the follow-up to 2001.
It was another Space Odyssey.
Right.
Yeah.
And in there, they showed that all of a sudden, a second healing sun appeared in our solar system.
Dave, something wonderful is
right.
going to happen.
Well, the healing sun already exists. It's at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. It's beaming cosmic rays in our direction. And these cosmic rays get imbued in the soil of such places as southern France. And when we walk those places, we're absorbing those cosmic rays. In fact, you know, all of the Mystery School teachings are about how to bring the healing energy from this central healing sun into our bodies so that we can, in fact, become that energy and build a bridge of light between Earth and the center of our Milky Way galaxy.
It seems, William, that all the ancients possessed this knowledge, and we've lost it.
They have. And I wrote a book called The Healing Sun Code, which is all about the wisdom that is believed to be embodied, imbued within those cosmic rays. Do you realize that when we started sending astronauts up on the Apollo missions, that they had to build special helmets? Because when they looked into space, these cosmic rays bombarded the retinas of the astronauts, and they started seeing these amazing, vibrant symbols called phosphenes. Well, George, the phosphenes that these astronauts were seeing were the exact same symbols that appeared on rocks in Australia and the southwestern portion of America going back 30,000 years. They were the exact same symbols, too, that Tim Leary and his bunch were seeing when they were dropping acid up at Harvard.
That's true.
And what they concluded is that our DNA is literally hardwired with this cosmic wisdom. And the cosmic rays emanating from the center of our galaxy trigger that wisdom within us. So does walking places on the Earth that is imbued with this energy. Rennes-le-Château, France, for example.
Very good. Very good. Well, William, when we come back, I want to open up the phone lines, give people an opportunity to chat with you. Remember the referee I was talking about? It was Mills Lane. That was his name.
Oh.
I'll be Mills Lane, and you'll play your part.
Great.
Well, we'll do that. Let's open up the phone lines. You know the numbers. We'll give them to you at the top of the hour for William Henry. Any questions you might have about his many travels. Again, his website is williamhenry.org, or .net rather, williamhenry.net. But it's already linked up with coasttocoastam.com. It's already there. Take a look at some of the many books that he has written, and the many mythological journeys that he has taken, and you'll find out that William Henry is one special kind of person. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in just moments on Coast to Coast AM.
If you're thinking about new carpet, tile, or pre-finished wood flooring for your home, you owe it to yourself to see the huge selection and fantastic prices at the Floor King. The Floor King is unique. They are locally owned and operated, but they have the buying power of a national company because they are a member of Carpet One. This tremendous buying power means you'll find all the top quality brands, extremely competitive prices. The Floor King, a member of Carpet One. Go by today and visit my friends at the Floor King, Research Boulevard, just north of Breaker, or on South Lamar. The Floor King, member Carpet One. Carpet One.
Not certified by the State Board of Legal Specialization.
Dale spent yesterday with his family at the lake. He threw the frisbee to his boys. He walked around the lake with his wife and watched the boats glide by. Nothing too remarkable, you might think. But if you had seen Dale 3 years ago, you might indeed think it was an amazing day. You see, Dale was a construction worker when his strap holding steel rods busted. Over 3 tons of steel came rolling down at Dale, crushing his ankle and breaking both legs. The prognosis was uncertain. Dale might never walk again. Even worse, Dale's company balked at covering his medical cost, even though he'd been a great employee for years. Dale was able to walk with his wife and run with his kids yesterday because something happened. That something was Scott Ogle, attorney at law. He saw to it that Dale received his medical care, and today his legs and his life are complete again. Scott Ogle, 442-8833, 442-8833.
News Radio 590, KLBJ, Austin. This is Austin's 24-hour newsroom. 24-hour newsroom. News Radio 590, KLBJ. Here's this hour's top story.
Good morning, I'm Lane Ingram. The congressional redistricting of Texas has sparked a great deal of debate throughout the state, and Governor Rick Perry speaks out about school finance. Details ahead on News Radio 590 KLBJ Austin. Check your watch, it's 3 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis. More tornadoes are possible this week for the Midwest and Mississippi Valley. At least 37 people died in one of the heaviest outbreaks of twisters in years.
You're talking about a very, very powerful tornado. So far on paper, if you just look at this outbreak, it is up there within the top 10. And right now it sits at number 7 all time as far as number of tornadoes with a certain outbreak. And that is pretty incredible.
Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantore. At least 2 people died in Pier City, Missouri. The damage extensive. Renita Hosler is with the Red Cross.
You suddenly see these grand brick buildings that have just been flattened, and it really kind of makes you stop and think for a minute about just what type of disaster went through here and affected this community.
A town of about 1,400 saw nearly every home and business damaged or destroyed. Kentucky wasn't spared either. A tree came crashing down on Martha Miller's Louisville home.
It can all be fixed. The whole thing of it is if they get that tarp on before that next rain comes in.
Researchers are trying to patent the SARS virus and its genetic material. Government agencies, biotechnology, and pharmaceutical companies are claiming ownership of bits and pieces related to SARS. Nonprofit groups maintain this is an effort to keep the SARS work public domain while researchers seek a cure. Some of the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay may be leaving soon. ABC's John McQuethy with more from the Pentagon.
Officials say those being shipped out of Guantanamo are not being let go. They are being turned over to other governments who will hold them, perhaps for trial. But in every case, sources say, these are people the U.S. no longer believes are useful sources of intelligence or a major threat to the U.S.
A so-called nucleus of leadership could be in place in Iraq within days, this according to the U.S. civil administrator. And this will be the first step in the selection of an interim government. From the ABC Money Scope in Tokyo, the Nikkei closed up 176 points, or nearly 2.25%. You're listening to ABC News.
Hi, I'm Derek Cope, race car driver and TV analyst. You've probably heard me talk about Avacor, the revolutionary hair regrowth system that has been successful for most everyone who's used it. Now, listen to what Avacor users have to say about this remarkable treatment.
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Nothing has worked like this product to restore the hair that I had when I was in my 20s. Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
Avacor is safe and effective. It's worked for tens of thousands of satisfied users, including me. Let Avacor work to regrow your hair naturally.
Join the tens of thousands of satisfied customers who have reversed their hair loss with Avacor.